seeking your face, touching your grace. In the cleft of the rock, in your presence, Lord. Father, we worship and honor you. We thank you for honoring our gathering with your presence again. We're grateful and we don't take it for granted. As we go into the word now, like Moses said of old, if your presence doesn't go with us, we will not leave this place. And therefore, we ask that your presence will go with us now as we enter the word. Come and open it up. Anoint me afresh. Let me speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are here physically, those who are at home listening to me, Lord, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to back my words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that they will become doers of the things they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that I will do it with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving every blessing I mentioned in their lives individually, agreed individually and said, amen. Amen. This afternoon I have a very important instructional message for us. It's part of actually a series of messages that the Lord has, to use the modern computer expression, downloaded to me in the last few weeks. And I've entitled this, The Kingdom and His Righteousness. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6 and the 33rd verse. Matthew, the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. The Lord Jesus himself is speaking. This is what we call the Sermon on the Mount, where this is at the early stages of Jesus' ministry. This is one of the most celebrated sermons he preached. And it's also called the Beatitudes, or the Beautiful Attitudes. He said, blessed are the meek and all of that. And then he got to this point, speaking to the brethren and prophetically to the church. You must understand that most of the time, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he was not talking to that generation alone. He was speaking prophetically, to the church that had not yet been born, but that was going to come. And this is particularly true of this scripture that I'm about to read. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. The Lord Jesus said, but seek ye first, everybody shout, first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to know what things he was talking about. Basically, he was talking about material and financial things. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. He said, all these things will be added unto you. If you will do this, if you will seek first, everybody say first, the kingdom and his righteousness. I find it instructive, and it's one of the things that inspired this message, that he makes a distinction between the kingdom and righteousness. Knowing scripture, you would think it's the same. And in a sense, it is. But by the time I finish this message, you will understand why he made a distinction. He didn't lump it all together. He said, seek first the kingdom and then his righteousness. Two separate things. Then, third thing, all the other things will be added unto you. I, yet not I, but the grace of God that's been with me. I've been a Christian now for 41 years. I got born again in 1979. And then I came in deeper revelation knowledge in 1980, really. And down through these years, by the grace and the mercy of God, I have endeavored by his grace to do this. And I can honestly tell you, it is true. As I have sought first the kingdom and his righteousness, things have been added unto me. God has blessed my wife and I with so many things. I didn't pray for them. Now, I pray for material things. Don't misunderstand me. I pray for finances. We do that every week, every month, you know, and I do it on a weekly basis, you know. But I don't go into specifics. Give me this kind of car. Give me this kind of house. Give me this kind of suit. I don't go and ask for specific material things. I don't do that. I just pray. I just speak God's word. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. I say that. And then I say, you know, I'll receive 100-fold in this lifetime of these things. Finish. That's as general as it. Then I pray in the spirit. So my mind, I'm using myself as an example. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So you can follow my example, you know. So my mind is never, by the grace and the mercy of God, fixated on material things. I don't have, there's a particular shirt that, you know, God must give me, or a particular suit, or a particular pair of shoes, or a particular watch. I don't believe God for specific material things. I believe God for material things generally, you know, so that my needs will be met, you know, and so I'll be blessed. But I don't go and zero in on a particular thing, especially because I saw somebody else have it. That really is covetousness. And that's very common in the church. And it's one of the reasons why over the years I have discouraged testimonies for material things. That does not mean I don't like them to be given. But you see, many times it does is as it whips up covetousness. Because people hear this, God did this for this person. Then that person, you know, they're carnal and they're not developed spiritually. So he too wants what that person wants. And he may not be spiritually ready for it. So there is a place for testimonies, don't misunderstand me. But especially for material things, if you do that, you get the people materially minded. They become things minded. Like Kelly Verner said, you know, man-centered, need-oriented, entertainment-based. It becomes, you know, and there's a fine line. It's because those things are not wrong, you see. They just become wrong when they become the focus. It is for that reason the Lord Jesus preached this message. He said, don't be like the heathen. They run after what they're going to eat. They run after what they're going to drink. They run after what they're going to wear. He said, don't be like them. Then he gives you the formula. If you can call it a formula. The principle. He says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. And then he gives you a guarantee. All these things will be added unto you. And I can honestly say that. It has happened to me exactly like that. Over many years. You know, things just happen. Somebody will come and say, this. I say, hey. In fact, I say, are you sure? You know, and then it will be exactly what God wants me to have. And I never sat down to say, I want this, this, and that. Although God knows my heart that, you know, I like this kind of thing. So it would be what I desired in my heart that I never properly articulated. Then I know it's God who is doing it. You know what the Bible says? It's in Psalm 37. He said, delight yourself in the Lord.
And he will give you the desires of your heart, even without you having to vocalize it. Now, let me say it again so that I'm not misunderstood. It is not wrong to pray for things. It's not wrong to pray for material things. And I'll show you how I do it. I just ask that my needs will be met. I always believe God for the hundredfold return in this lifetime on every financial seed I've sown. So I have those things coming in. Is this clear? So you have to say that. You have to vocalize that. You have to, you know, speak that. But I don't go and say, I want a Rolls Royce. Now, God could give me a Rolls Royce. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I won't sit down and say, God, give me that Rolls Royce. Or a Jaguar. Thank you. How did you know, Prof? Maybe God is speaking to you to get me a Jaguar. All right. So Jesus said, now, why is there a difference? Let us break this down. Let's take it one by one. Kingdom. What does kingdom mean? It's the dominion of the king. It's the dominion. God is the king. Jesus is the king. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. So he's asking you that you should seek first the total, and I've included that word. It's not just the, see, every child of God is in the kingdom of God to a degree. We're all born. Once you get born again, you're inside the kingdom of God. But the dominion of God over lives, the degree of the dominion of God in our lives is variable. Some people, God has more dominion. Some people, God has less dominion. Although we're all in the kingdom. So what Jesus is actually saying is that what you'll be seeking on a daily basis in your life is the total dominion of God over your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your body, and your circumstances. He said that's what you should be seeking. Seeking the dominion of God. Let's say it another way, which is the same thing, because God is love. So it's actually the total dominion of love over your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your body, and your circumstances. That's what you should be seeking. Now, a consequence of that is not the same thing. The consequence of the total dominion of love over your soul, your body, and your circumstances will be righteousness. Amen. That's why he separated them. So the first thing you need to do is learn, and I'm going to show you in a minute, how to enforce the total dominion of God in your soul, body, and your circumstances, and the consequence of that will be right doing. Amen. The righteousness he's speaking about here is not the right standing that we get when we get born again because of the blood of Jesus, and the right standing we have when the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. That is important, it's foundational, but that the purpose of the right standing is to give us access to the life and the power of God that enforces the dominion that will now cause the right doing. It's crucial that we understand these subtle differences. I've discovered that there's nothing in the Bible that is superfluous. If God put it there, there's a reason. That's why he said, seek ye first. The word first there is critical. I'm going to come back to it in a minute. You know, he's talking about make it first priority. That's what he's saying. Make it your number one priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and the righteousness that comes from that. Then you know what you're going to find? All other things are going to be added to you. Without being materially minded, I can honestly say to the glory of God, I am not materially minded. Yet I am blessed greatly materially. Amen. God gives me all kinds of things. Things I didn't even think of. When a need comes, I just pray a lot in the spirit. And something that's even beyond what I'm thinking is what's given to me. Amen. I have a lot of testimonies. But you know, I don't give them because I don't want people getting covetous. And I don't want them getting envious. You tell them something, and you know, they say, see what God gave pastor. God must give me too. And it becomes materially minded. And it's so sad and so regrettable that this is the state of a lot of the church. So most people are going to church. Then they come, they hear, pastor just came back from London. You know, pastors will come back from London and say, I just got a Rolex watch. Then all the people in the church, all the assistant pastors, they too, they want Rolex watch. They too want to go to London. It's true. If you say it often, that's what's going to be in the minds of the people. And that's what they're going to be seeking. The exact opposite of what Jesus said. He said, seek ye first the kingdom. He said, and all the Rolex will be added to you. Answer, and when do you? And it may not be a Rolex. It can be a Raymond wheel. It can be something else. Hello, somebody. Who cares? Who cares? As long as it's a good watch. End of story. You know, but so many times we get fixated on one material thing and get into competition and envy. This guy is using this kind of car, so I must have that kind of car. That's the reason for this message, to excavate from our minds the remaining vestiges of covetousness, envy, and competition. Amen. Because it's so deep-seated in the hearts and the minds of so many Christians because of the warped prosperity message. The prosperity message is a good message. It's a good message. But it can become warped when that becomes the emphasis, that becomes the thing. So when they come to church, that's all they are thinking about. And you know, scripture says, this scripture just flashed to me now. You know, the Holy Spirit just flashed it to me now. He says, set not your mind on the things that are on earth. He actually said that. I don't know what people do with those kind of scriptures. He said it. He said, do not set your mind on things that are on the earth. Does that mean I don't need things on the earth? He said, the Father knows you have need of these things. But he says, set your mind on things that are above. Where Christ sits at the right hand of God, set your mind on dominion. Set your mind on perfection. Set your mind on allowing the whole kingdom of God, the dominion of God to be on your mind. He said, then the things of the earth will be added without you setting your mind on them. So that's what it is. The kingdom of God is the total dominion of God's power and character, really, which is... That's another scripture. It's in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. I like those scriptures because they're very, very clear. They're definite. There's no wiggle room. This is what Paul, the Holy Spirit, says to us through Paul. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Again, it's not material. But it is righteousness, peace, and joy. And then he adds this, in the Holy Ghost. It means this dominion cannot be enforced outside the Holy Ghost. It's going to take the power of the Spirit of God to enforce the kingdom of God on your mind, your will, your emotions, your body, and your circumstances. Watch this on a daily basis. This seeking the kingdom is a daily thing. It's the first prayer of every day, or should be. Because you see, every day I have to enforce the kingdom. It's not automatic that the kingdom, the dominion of God, will be enforced in my life. That's why I have to pray daily. Jesus said the same thing in different words. The spirit is the same, the letters are different, but it's exactly the same thing. Take up your cross daily. Same thing. Seek the kingdom of God daily. Same thing. What's your cross? The cross there represents crucifixion, but it's not the physical crucifixion. It's the crucifying of the lust of the flesh by the Spirit. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. Kingdom. Same thing. Different words, but the Spirit is the same. That's what God is telling us. So when I get up in the morning and I want to pray, those are the first thing. Look, what did Jesus teach them? He said, when you pray, pray in this matter. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the next thing? Thy kingdom come. Let's personalize that. Thy kingdom come upon me today. Amen. And by that kingdom coming upon me, thy will be done. Amen. That's what he's taught us. So when he wasn't teaching us to read a prayer like a parrot every day. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be. You can say that and not have a clue of what you're talking about. He's talking about a principle that when you pray on a daily basis, you first of all worship God, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, is the principle of worship, of reverence, of acknowledgement of who God is. Then the next thing is thy kingdom come. And the consequence of that is thy will be done. The will cannot be done if the kingdom does not come. It's the dominion of God, the dominion of love, the dominion of the kingdom that causes the will of God to be done. Teaching this, the same the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he said? He said, the kingdom of God suffereth violence. In other words, this kingdom of God, you have to violently in the spirit. You have to violently enforce it. If you don't enforce it, it won't come. So if you pray today or yesterday for the kingdom to come and you don't pray today, it won't come today. That's why it's first. That's what he was talking about to the Ephesian church in the book of Revelation. That's what he said. You had left your first love. Jesus himself, the Lord Jesus himself, the Holy Son of God, virgin born, sinless, because he was living in a sinful environment, he had to enforce it daily. So the Bible says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up what? Prayers and supplication with what? Strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. And he was heard because he feared, because he had an attitude of reverence. Jesus had to enforce the kingdom daily. That's why he told us. He said, if any man will come after me. The word there is follow. It means mimic. The Greek word is mimetes, where we get the English word mimic from. He said, if you want to make me, say, take up your cross daily and follow me. In other words, I take up my cross daily. He would not have told you to do it as a mimic if he wasn't doing it. Take up your cross daily. Because I take up my cross daily. That's why the guy will get up early in the morning, a great while before dawn. Then he will go and pray in the spirit, you know, and enforce the kingdom. It is the enforcing of the kingdom that will now cause him to walk in righteousness for the rest of the day. Is it clear? It's not just a cliche. It's a reality. And the consequence of it is that it will cause all other things. The material things that the world is running after, he says, it will be added unto you. The ease to the glory of God. The ease that God blesses my wife and I with some physical and material things is amazing. We'll just sit down. Somebody will come and meet us. Somebody will just say something somewhere. Say, you need this. You know, we'll help you. I'll just be looking. Prayer, we'll just pray. And everything just falls into place. Pam, 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 pam. Without, you know. The Bible is true. I have proven it to be true. They will really be added unto you. Really added unto you. Better than the people who are looking for it. There are people who are far richer than us, you know, in terms of maybe bank accounts and all that. But quality of life is not the same. Because of this principle. Seek ye first. Now. Thank you, Jesus. So God wants us to enforce the total dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy. Now, all of that can be summarized in one word. Love. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans, it says, love doeth no ill to his neighbor. You know, so when you don't do wrong, you're always doing right. So righteousness, doing right, and love is the same thing. Because, you know, love never breaks any law. Anything that is love is right. He said, against such there is no law. Are you listening to me? You know, it's different words, but the spirit behind it is the same. So, And all the other things, joy and peace, are only just fruits of the Spirit. They are all inside love. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he's talking about, you know, if you will pray in the Spirit, that's why it is in the Holy Ghost, you will use the power of the Spirit to enforce righteousness, right doing, peace, joy in your mind, in your will, in your emotions, in your body, in your circumstances, and consequently do right. So that's why it is kingdom of God and his righteousness. The righteousness is a consequence of the kingdom. May God help us to understand. Now, Holy Spirit, thank you. I've said this already. So all other things can be added unto you. Healing. How many people want healing here? Good health. Protection. Deliverance. Prosperity. Long life. Fulfillment of destiny. Everything. It will all be added to you. If, it's conditional, you will seek first the kingdom of God in the way in which I have described on a daily basis and his righteousness. Now, how is this done? Recently, I preached a prophetic message on from Obed-Edom to Zion. And I used the typology of the priests that were carrying the ark on their shoulders and were sacrificing every six paces. That was a spiritual shadow of the reality of enforcing the kingdom once every 6 hours. You cling with the blood of Jesus. Lord, have mercy on me. I receive your blood. Cleanse me. I receive your life and power. Then you pray in tongues and you enforce the kingdom. Now, you need to do some concentrated prayer in the Spirit before all of that, where you pray for about an hour, you know, in the mornings. That's what you do in Good Morning Jesus when you're praying, you know, and then individually you need to do that at least once in a week for yourself, you know, to be conformed to the image of Jesus, because you're releasing, it's in the Holy Ghost, folks. This thing cannot be done outside the Holy Ghost. And that's why so many people, Christians, are failing in trying to do it. They're trying to do it in the flesh. See, I can't enforce the kingdom by changing my clothes or by changing my perfume or, you know, wearing a scarf or not wearing a scarf. All those physical ways of trying to do righteousness, you know, are not in the Holy Ghost. They're in the flesh. If you pray and you, the dominion of God, when you are wearing it wrong, the Holy Ghost will tell you. The Holy Spirit will tell you, and you won't wear it. Well, you're going to a particular place, the Holy Spirit, don't wear that, wear this. And then you'll be guided by the principle of the Spirit, let all things be done decently and in order, including your dressing. If you're a woman, you will not wear the attire of a harlot. You won't expose your breasts or expose your thighs in a way that is sexually suggestive to try and attract men. You won't. You won't if you're in the Holy Ghost. Immediately you wear such a thing, the Holy Ghost will say, no, you can't wear that. You're a child of God. You know, you can't go around like a harlot. Hello? You see, the righteousness or right doing that is a consequence of fleshly efforts is tainted by the sin nature in the flesh, and in the sight of God is as filthy rags. This one of which we speak is in the Holy Ghost. And that's why you need prayer. Prayer. So you need to have concentrated prayer. Then you need to have systematic, regular prayer. And that's why God uses that illustration of the priests, the sons of Levi, carrying the ark. The ark is the presence of God, the glory of God. You carry it, you know. Then Jesus said, you know, you should watch and pray always at noon, when you get up, you know, at midnight, during the day. In Deuteronomy, he said, this book of the law will not depart. He said, you speak of it when you get up. You speak of it when you sleep. You speak of it when you sit down. You speak of it when you're, by the way, all day long, every 6 hours. You know, because why? We're living in a terrible environment. If you enforce it now, after some time, the enemy is going to try and come back to try and bring in something. Then you enforce it again. Then you enforce it again. Then you enforce it again. It's a constant thing. And you see it in the life of the ministry of Jesus. I used to wonder, when I was a younger Christian, why Jesus, the Son of God, had to pray. Son of God. He's sinless. Born of a virgin. He doesn't need to pray. He's already holy. Have you noticed something about Jesus? He will go, he will miss anybody, so he withdrew himself. And then he will pray. He knew this principle. He knew that the prince of the power of the air was around. He knew that if he didn't enforce it and he was careless, that thing can come from outside and try and get in. So he didn't take any chances. You see this also about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's that thing I talked about just now, what we call the Lord's Prayer. His disciples, like John said in the book of 1 John, he said, that which we have seen and handled of the word of life. You know, they were so close to him because they slept with him. They were in the house with him. They walked with him. They watched this man. So one day, you know what they said? They said, teach us to pray. They saw that he never played with prayer. And it wasn't just he would do one long prayer and that's the end of it. He was praying all the time. He will withdraw himself, he will pray. Then he will come back, they will talk, they will eat, they will laugh. Then he will withdraw again, he will pray. Then they will talk, they will eat, they will laugh. So they saw it as a habit. And they said, we want to learn what you are learning, what you are doing. That was the source of the man's power. And the source of his righteousness. The Bible says he was tempted in every way like as we are. Yet without sin. Why? Because he sought first daily the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And there is no need Jesus had that was never met. When he needed to pay his tax, he knew exactly where to get it. He said, the people who come, they come to ask for tax. He asked, said, should we pay or should we not pay? He said, should the children of the kingdom pay? He said, no, they are free. He said, but don't let's offend them. Let's keep the law of the land. He said, now, Peter, watch this. Great revelation. He said, go and fish. Watch this. He said, and the first fish. He said, open his mouth. And you will get a gold coin there. Watch this. You will not only pay my tax, you will pay for all of us. But there's something there. I learned this from Kenneth Copeland. It was the first fish. It wasn't the only fish. So they were not only going to get the gold. They were going to get plenty of fish they could sell to have money for the ministry. Give the Lord a clap offering. He not only gave them gold. He gave them plenty of fish. It was the first fish. So there were second fish, third fish, fourth fish, fifth fish. Ah, glory to God. It's good to seek this kingdom. I just got another tweet, another fax. And it is this. It's, what I'm about to say is very subtle. It's very subtle. The Lord unraveled it to me many, many years ago. It was 1981. I went to America. I was going to Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting. I had gone in 1980. So the next year I wanted to go. That time I was with Brother Emiko here in Nigeria. Everybody went. Tunde Joda went. You know, David Oedepo, Brother Emiko, yeah, everybody. I was the only one left in Nigeria because I was praying and the money for the ticket did not come. I did not know it was a blessing in disguise. You know, so the camp meeting came and went. Camp meeting was in July. It was in September of that same year that somebody walked up to me and gave me a ticket. In those days, we didn't need visa to go to America. You could just go and you get your visa like that. So I went, got my visa, you know, and I went through London. You know, I spent a few days because I just come back from London the year previously. So I still had some of my friends in London and all of that. So I spent a few days in London. Then I now went on to America. While I was in America, camp meeting was over, so I couldn't go to camp meeting. But I had made some friends, and their son, Dan Mikes, was in Rhema Bible Training Center. So he used to go every day. So I was staying in their house. So they said I should stay, you know. And Dan and I were about the same age. I was only 22, 23 then. It's 1981, you know. So I was 22, you know. So Dan and we're same age. So I stayed with Dan and another brother who was also a student in Rhema. They had a flat. So they gave me a bed. It was very nice, very comfortable. They had a car. So all of us, every morning, we just drive, go to Rhema, you know. So I sat down just like a student. I was not a student, too. I was not registered, but I was allowed to. And in the afternoons, I would listen to Kenneth Hagin. He would do healing school. Oh, I learned so much. It was then my eyes opened that the end of our faith is the salvation of our soul, not things. It was during that time. I can never forget it. Then there were scriptures that were, you know, they were quoted always in a materialistic kind of way. The Holy Spirit opened it up to me and said, this is wrong. The way they are, this emphasis is wrong. You've heard this scripture before. It says that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The normal word of faith interpretation is that you will overcome the problems you have in the world. You know, if you have a problem and this happens, you overcome it. So you get your money and you get your blessing. But that's not what he's talking about. I cannot remember. It's that same time. I was there for 2 months. I was there in September. I didn't come back until end of November. That's when they opened Oral Roberts University, the medical school, because I was there, you know. So I was in and out, and I mixed with the brethren. I got to know so many things. I got to hear so many things. I got to see the errors, the excesses, you know. I got the balance. And it was while I was there, Kenneth Copeland, and they had this meeting of all the full gospel businessmen. No, it's not full gospel. It was full gospel business, but it wasn't the business, not the full gospel. But all the faith guys, they would come for a minister's conference. So they all came for a minister's conference in Tulsa. And I was there. You know, Copeland, you know, Hagen, what's his name? Jerry Savelle. You know, and many of them, many, Fred Price, all of them. I was sitting like that. I was just listening to, God sent me there. He didn't want me to go to camp meeting. That's what he wanted me to go for. I saw the excesses. I saw the errors. It was while I was there that the prophecy came about the Soviet Union. In that meeting, Jean Wilkerson, one old woman like this, I don't know if she's still alive now, she had white hair. Okay, Hagin really respected her. So one of the evenings, Jim Wilkerson now came, you know, and Papa Hagin was preaching and prophesying, you know, there was a lot of the move of the Spirit. Then he said, Jean Wilkerson, you know, she's a prophetess, she's going to come. She spoke about the Soviet Union. I can never forget it. The hair on something, even though I'm a black man, was standing up. You know when the Spirit of God, and she said, the evil empire, he said, and their leaders would die one after the other until God will raise a man and it will implode from within. It happened exactly. Those are true prophets, folks. It happened exactly. Remember, it was Brezhnev. Then the second one followed. Then another one followed, you know, before Gorbachev came. And it was Gorbachev that I was in that meeting. So God now told me. He said, that's the world there is not physical things. He said, the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He said, for all that is in the world, he said, that's what you are supposed to use your faith to overcome. I still have the notes I wrote there in the church office. Back in 1981, I brought God. When I came back to Nigeria, my message changed. I still preach faith, but the emphasis of my faith was no longer material. Joshua 1:8 says this. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It's a very popular scripture among us faith people. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, watch this, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. You know what the Lord did for me? He said, that scripture is correct. He said, but be very careful. If you take it literally in the letter and you don't get the spirit, the goal will become prosperity. Mm. So the reason why I meditate the word of God day and night is so that I will have good success and my way will become prosperous, which is correct. Do you understand? But you see, the goal of my faith is not just to have good success and to be prosperous, is to become like Jesus. Amen. The Holy Spirit unraveled everything for me. He unraveled everything. My eyes opened. Wow! We have to be very careful. So when I got back to Nigeria, I got back in November, late November, went back to Brother Emiko. They used to call me IVCU, call me in Ilorin, call me in Ife, you know, even Kaduna, you know, in Zaria, and you know, the different Christian Union. You know, when this was what I was preaching, my faith message changed completely. I said, I still believe in the other things. I said, but this is the emphasis. This is the purpose of our faith. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, then the other things will be added unto you. So you need to enforce the kingdom by prayer in the spirit, extended prayer in the spirit on a daily basis, weekly basis, daily basis corporately through Good Morning Jesus, daily basis individually, at least once in a week. Then throughout the day, once every 6 hours, you need to enforce the kingdom. That is how you seek the kingdom. You prioritize the enforcing of the kingdom. The consequence of it will be righteousness. Now, give me Proverbs 21:21. That's the last scripture. I'm going to close. Proverbs 21:21. This is the modus operandi. It's a wonder. Even the reference of this scripture is prophetic. It's 21:21. Perfection times completion. Perfection times completion. Proverbs 21:21. You can't forget it. No, you know, even the numbering was inspired. Can you believe it? God is great. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. It looks as if he's repeating the same thing. He's not. The first righteousness is right standing. If you follow it by constantly cleaning with the blood, that's how you follow it. And you ask for mercy that will give you life and power. It will not give you life. It is the life that will not give you the right doing. The second righteousness is right doing and honor all other things that you are looking for. All the other things you are looking for. That's the honor. The car, the house, the plane, the clothes, the watch, the Rolex, all of that. All the honor will come. So you daily you should follow after right standing. That is why you need to clean constantly with the blood of Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. I just want to emphasize that. Because there is again the body, Satan. You know, if you can't beat them, join them. What he has done is that he knows we like the Bible. And he knows that we are very sticklers for the word. So he'll come and give you the Bible and then shift the emphasis. The purpose of the blood of Jesus is to maintain our right standing. Shekinah. Period. It's not for the road. It's not for protection. It will bring protection, because once your right standing is intact, the life and the power of God will flow. Once the life and power of God will flow, the angels have something to work with, and it's the angels that do your protection. Not a talisman of just throwing the blood on the road and throwing it on yourself. All those things, they're trying to copy an Old Testament type. Watch this. The Old Testament was physical blood of animal sacrifices. The blood of Jesus is spiritual. It was shed 2,000 years ago. Jesus himself took his own blood into the heavenly holy of holies and he sprinkled it, guaranteeing not only the forgiveness, the remission of our present, past, and future sins. You are covered forever. Glory be to God. That's the use of the blood, is to sprinkle your heart. You never find anywhere in the New Testament where they sprinkle the blood on things. It's not in the New Testament. It was in the Old Testament, and that was a physical blood that were asked to put on the lintel of the house. That's a physical. But in this is spiritual. It's to clean your heart. Having your conscience purged from an evil conscience. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. 21 again. You know this Bible there? Now, the God of peace, I didn't hear you, that brought again the Lord from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ, free of charge. You know, Jesus was the first person to be born again. That's why he brought him again. You know, he had life before. Then he died on the cross spiritually. And then God brought him again. That great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Don't stop there. Next verse. Make you perfect. It is as clear as crystal. You cannot enter perfection without the constant cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Yeah, but I didn't sin. You may not even have sin that you know of. But there are sins you are committing you don't even know. Because of the sin nature inside you. So the Bible is in 1 John. It gives you to continue. It says, if we say we have not sinned, we are lying. Then it says, if we say we have no sin, that's why we need the blood. You see, the difference between us and Jesus is this. I've shared this over the years. Jesus was born of a virgin and did not have any sin nature, but he had no blood to cleanse. We were born in sin and shepherded in iniquity, but we have the blood of Jesus. So by using the blood of Jesus to remove our sin, we can do the same thing Jesus did without the blood. Amen. That is what Paul calls, this is a faithful saying worthy of our acceptation. There is no contradiction. It's the truth. This is real Bible truth. Yeah, Jesus didn't have sin, but he didn't have the blood. We have sin, but we have the blood. So it makes us equal. It means anything Jesus did, I can do because I have his blood. And if I keep using that blood, I too become sinless like Jesus. Are you listening to me? Let's go back to Proverbs and we close. So, how do you seek the righteousness? We've dealt with the kingdom. This is how you do it. You follow after right standing using the cleaning of the blood. And you ask for mercy. Mercy will give you life. It will preserve you from destruction. It will preserve you from fainting. It will make mercy to be faithful. Then that will now give you access to life. That life will now enable you to do right doing. The right doing you do will now give you honor, causing all other things to be added unto you. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. That's it. It's so simple. But see how we've missed it. By Satan just coming and just shift the emphasis just a little bit. You know, I've shared this before mathematically. Do you understand? If I'm standing here, you know, and you take two lines like that, If you just move to where Prof is, the difference is not much. But by the time you extend it to 1,000 kilometers, the difference will be so large. That's what Satan does. He just gives us, he shifts the emphasis, just a little tweak. And then 2,000 years later, we are far from where God is doing. 40 years later, we are so far from where we started. I remember when we first got born again, spirit. You know, we used to laugh at the people in the denominational church. They'd be calling themselves bishop, wearing all of these things. Within 20 years, we started doing the same thing. It's amazing. And our own is even worse than their own. That's the thing about error. It will just shift just a little bit, a little leaven. Just a little. Ever let it be that I will praise you. Ever let it be that I will please you. Never let it be that I will turn away. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Ever let it be that I would love you. Oh no! Never let there be any gods above you.
Ever let it be that I will sing your praise.
Hallelujah! Sing it, sing it, sing it.
Ever let it be that I would praise you. Ever let it be that I would please you. Never let it be that I would turn away.
Hallelujah! Sing it! Walking in your
One hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God. Those at home, do the same thing. Put one hand on your heart, raise your hand to God, or straight towards the screen. This song is a prophetic song. It says, I need you day by day. It's a prayer, it's a supplication. Ever let it be. And we all need that prayer. If people like Solomon could go astray, if people like John the Baptist could go astray, you need that prayer. The biggest mistake you can think in your Christian life is because you know the Word of God and because you have revelation knowledge and because, you know, nothing can ever happen to you. If you stop praying, you will stray. It's guaranteed. That's why Jesus never stopped praying. In the days, not day, days, plural, of his, he offered up prayer. He knew that if he left that thing, he would stray. He knew it. So he never took the chance. So he was tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. Then he said, follow my example. Copy me. Take up your cross daily and you won't stray. Take up your cross daily, you won't stray. Seek first the kingdom of God daily, you won't stray. Leave it, you will stray. Raise that hand. Touch your heart. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. As we pray to receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In particular, Lord, we repent of the sin of presumptuousness, the sin of a lack of diligence, the sin of seeking other things first instead of the kingdom. Oh God, have mercy on us. We repent. We join the church collectively to repent of seeking things above the kingdom. God, have mercy on us. Bring us back to our first love. On a daily basis, to seek first the kingdom of God, to enforce it by the power of the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God allows violence, and only the violent in the spirit can take it, can enforce it on a daily basis. So, help us to pray like Jesus prayed. Daily, with strong crying and tears in the spirit, to daily enforce your kingdom, your dominion over our minds, our wills, our emotions, our bodies, and our circumstances, so that we can do righteousness by the Spirit and have all other things added to us. In Jesus' name. Nekatoske fredenga. Liprikitofrenes. Nele eshelikofrenes. Mercy, Lord. Leprikitofrenes. Nengatoske fredes. Lopridia. Negardoloma shelike kofredes. Ramantuske frenenga. Mercy, Lord. Leprikitoske fredes. Mercy, Lord. Labria ronzeleia. Mercy, Lord. Loprike glamatoloma tofredeka mastoloma stofes. Lombre glamatoloma stofes. Lombre glamatofes. Lombridica. Shelike kofredes. Toloma tufredinger dofres. Toloma tu fredes, no fredes, jelikiko fredes, lembra dolomoska. In Jesus' name. While I was ministering, I spoke about prosperity and material things, and God wants us to have those things. The Bible actually says so. See, he wants us to be rich. But this is, there's a way. What I've shared with you now is the way. One other thing I didn't say, and I was reminded by the Holy Spirit that I need to say, and my wife tangentially mentioned it when I was talking, you know, give your tithes and offerings.
it opens the heavens, not only for physical material things, for the fruit of the Spirit. Because if the heavens are not open, Satan can destroy the fruit of your ground, which is the fruit of the Spirit. That's why you find the book of Galatians, it tells you, it says that he that is taught in the word ought to give, to honor he who teaches him in all things. Then the next thing that comes out of his mouth is that, don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. He's talking about giving. He says that if you sow to the flesh, if you give to buy things for yourself instead of paying your tithes and offering, you will reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life, which will lead to righteousness, which will lead to honor. Let us share the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his kindness upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts on you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, turn to your neighbor and say, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. Please don't go. We have something important to say. Just a minute.